Chapter 17. Kate had come across it last night, drafting her opinion. She went over to her briefcase, opened it up, and unpacked it on the couch, taking out the three transcripts from the most important days of trial. She shuffled the thick, green-bound transcripts and found the day Simone had taken the stand. She opened the transcript and flipped through. Where had she seen that reference? She'd thought it was just a throwaway at the time, but now it was looming large. She turned the pages, searching. 146, 147, 148. There. Simone, on direct examination. Answer. For example, I could make this lawsuit into a TV series, write a spinoff from Attorneys at Law, call it Judges at Court. And it could star a blonde female judge who looked a lot like you, Judge Fanti. Charismatic, attention-getting, the most alive person in the room. What do you think?
The court. Great idea. I'd love it. Get Charlize Theron for me.
Answer. Done. Kate closed the transcript, angered. What if Simone hadn't been kidding? What if he really was making a new TV show with a woman judge as its lead? What if he'd been having her followed for research? It fit the photos, too. The questions led to more questions. Did he start having her followed, then found out what she did at night, or vice versa? Could he really have turned her sex life into a TV show? Could he still, through his production company? Kate shuddered at the thought. If he did, every judge on the court would know it was really her, and so would every litigant, witness, and juror who came before her. Her old partners at Beaker, and her clients, CEOs and VPs of Fortune 500 companies. They'd all speculate, gossip, whisper. No, Kate wouldn't have it. She couldn't. She went back to the table, picked up the phone, and called information for the Four Seasons, then punched the number in and got through to the front desk. May I speak to Micah Gilbert, please? I believe she was with the Arthur Simone Group. Please hold while I check the number, the operator said, then came back on. I'm sorry, Ms. Gilbert was never a guest. Damn. Thank you. Kate hung up, on fire. Gilbert hadn't testified at the trial, but she had undoubtedly been deposed during discovery. But depths weren't required to be filed with the court. She knew nothing about the Simone organization. She went back to her desk and logged onto her computer, clicked through to google.com, and plugged in Micah Gilbert and Arthur Simone. 3 zillion entries came up in a list dominated by Attorneys at Law. She clicked the URL and the screen changed to a simple white page with a black border which read, "We mourn the passing of our creator, mentor, and dear friend, Arthur G. Simone." Before Kate's disappointment had a chance to set in, the tribute dissolved, revealing the slick homepage for Attorneys at Law, with gritty photos of the fictional lawyers and a lineup of standard web page buttons. Kate clicked About Us, and two addresses appeared on the screen, one in the coveted 90210 zip code listing. After creator Arthur Simone came executive producers, co-executive producers, supervising producers, and the like. After that, there was one name next to an address in the less-than-coveted 19006 zip code, Philadelphia. Attorneys at Law evidently had offices in town, and the production assistant, Philly, was Micah Gilbert. Bingo. Kate passed the mouse over Gilbert's name, and another page popped up, with a large photo of the lovely Micah in a tight black pantsuit next to a short biography, which Kate read. Micah joined the posse 2 years ago, and before Micah joined us, she worked forever. Okay, only 5 years, but that's like 20 in publicist years. As a liaison slash consultant for the Philadelphia Film Office, Micah is all about Philly, and her city savvy helps make Attorneys at Law rock on Sunday nights. Micah works way too hard, so she can be reached anytime at 215-363-3949. Kate picked up the phone and pressed in the number. After two rings, a woman picked up. Attorneys at Law? Micah? Yes? Sorry, wrong number. Kate pressed the hook to hang up, feeling her juices start to flow. She hit the intercom button and Emily answered. Can you please come in? Kate hung up, then went back to the table, grabbed Simone's chronology, and stuffed it in her purse. Then she called out, "Come in, Emily." The door opened. "Hi, Judge." "Hey, girl. Close the door and come back here if you don't mind." "Sure." Emily swished into the room in her flowing black skirt and black Doc Marten boots and took a seat in the chair opposite the desk, looking nervous. Kate began. First off, I'm sorry I was so rude to you and Sam this morning. I lost control and I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. That's okay. I think it's nice that you care so much about Mars and Simone. It shows you have a good heart. Emily smiled shyly, a dark maroon slash of lip gloss, and Kate felt touched. Thanks. Did you get my final opinion in Simone? I emailed it to you last night. Yes, I just finished checking the sites. Great, thanks. Please print me a copy and leave it on my desk. You did a great job on your draft, and I really appreciate it. Thanks. Now I have to ask you to do some extra research for me on a different issue, and I need you to keep it to yourself. Don't tell Sam. I don't really talk to Sam anyway. Or your clerk friends in the other chambers. Emily nodded gravely. I don't have any clerk friends in other chambers. Ouch. Okay, as a hypothetical, let's say that someone is being followed without their knowledge for a period of 6 months or so in Philadelphia. Every movement followed, like surveillance. You need to plug into the harassment cases. Emily began taking notes. I think that's legally actionable. I think the person being followed can get a restraining order. I also think it might be actionable criminally under the new stalking laws. And I think there is some kind of tortious breach of privacy action that can be brought. Kate was thinking out loud. Something with major damages, punitive damages. Emily kept writing. Also, if you have time, check into the false light cases. I want to know if the whereabouts of a public official can be made into, let's say, a movie or a TV show. Emily's head snapped up, her lined eyes wide. Are they making a TV show about you? So much for secrecy. I don't know, but I want to be ready. One last thing. Don't do the research or the writing in chambers. Go to the library. How about the downstairs library? Emily meant the courthouse library that all the clerks used, and occasionally a judge or two. No, get off the reservation. Go to Jenkins Law Library. Take your laptop. Got it? Sure, Emily said, her young face worried. She finally rested her ballpoint. Are you okay, Judge? Of course. Kate flashed a convincing smile and stood up. Now let's go. She got up and Emily followed, and they walked together to the clerk's office, where Sam was bent over his computer keyboard, his back to the door. Sam, Kate said. He turned in his swivel chair, his expression cowed still. I'm sorry I snapped at you. It was uncalled for, and I'm sorry. It's all right, Judge. Sam's lower lip trembled, and for a minute he looked like he might cry. I know I've been kind of a disappointment to you. No, you haven't, Sam. Not at all. Kate felt a twinge for the kid, but she didn't have time for this now. You and I will have to talk about this when I get back. I have an errand to run. Okay, pal? Okay. Sam managed a shaky smile, and Kate ducked out of the clerk's office and headed for Val's desk. Hey, lady, Kate called out on the fly. Please tell me my calendar's clear this morning. Let me see, Judge. Val turned to her computer, which set her long amber earrings swinging. A beige pashmina draped around her shoulders on top of a brown patterned dress. She hit a key on her keyboard and slid her eyes upward while she typed. You didn't have to say you were sorry, you know. You gotta teach him. Nah, it was right. Kate grabbed her trench coat from the rack and slid into it as Val frowned at her monitor screen. You have a pretrial motion at 11:30, Schrader versus Eccles Industries. Damn. Kate had meant to read those papers, too. She'd never been so behind on her work. Please call and cancel it. Tell the courtroom deputy and stenographer, too. I won't be back until after lunch. She leaned over the top of Val's cubicle and lowered her voice. Mars killed himself with the murder weapon. So it's over. Yes. Hallelujah. Where are you going? You don't want to know. Kate hurried for the door.